from Television City in Hollywood.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers in All in the Family.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
Developed by Norman Lear. At the piano, Edith nuzzles up against Archie. At the bunker house, Edith steps out of the kitchen and picks up her knitting basket and glasses. She pauses, then scurries to the bottom of the stairs.
Archie, you've been up there a long time. What are you doing?
It's personal, Edith.
Oh. Would you like me to bring up your newspaper to read?
That kind of person.
Mike walks in.
Hi, Ma.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Is Gloria here?
Gloria phoned. She said to tell you she'd be working late tonight.
Oh. Well, I guess I'll just have to eat leftover pizza. Cold.
Oh.
All by myself.
Oh.
That lonely house.
Oh. I'd ask you to eat with us.
I accept. What are we having?
Stewed tomatoes and cottage cheese.
I'll heat up the pizza. Is Archie still on that crazy diet?
Oh, yeah, and he's exercising a lot, too. Every morning he touches his toes 20 times, and he does knee bends.
Wait a minute. My Archie touches his toes 20 times?
Yeah, while he's doing the knee bends.
Hey, who are you talking to down there, Edith?
It's Mike.
Well, we'll tell him to get his face out of the refrigerator.
For your information, my face is not in your refrigerator.
Oh, yeah? Well, get your butt out of my chair.
Mike stops himself from settling into the chair.
Mike, what is it with Archie these days? I mean, I don't ever remember him caring about how he looked.
Oh, Archie was always very proud of his body.
Why? Hey, Ma, I don't want to worry you, but do you think maybe Archie's starting to fool around?
Oh, Mike. Oh.
Mike smiles.
Oh, not Archie. He ain't been interested in women since the day we was married.
Archie swaggers down the stairs with his thinning gray hair dyed black. Edith beams, and Mike stares, mouth agape. Archie grins smugly.
You just noticed something, huh?
Archie, you dyed your hair.
No, I rinsed it, Edith. This here is a rinse.
You got any left over? I'd like to rinse my shoes.
Do your eyebrows.
Ah, the hell with them. Nobody looks at eyebrows, Edith. I put it all right on the top of my head, and I had to do it all at one time, you know, because I want the boss to see this first thing in the morning.
Oh, Archie, it's beautiful. You look like you looked when we first started going together.
Edith, this is for business. It ain't for romance. Old man Harris, the dispatcher, is retiring next week, and one of us guys from the loading dock is going to be promoted into that job.
And they're giving it to the man with the blackest hair?
No, but if you look young, you stand a better chance nowadays. So my hair looks young. And thank God I always had young skin. Eh? Look at that. You're not a very close vein in sight there.
That's right. Just a few liver spots.
Them is freckles. That's a sign of youth, Edith. You got any of them?
No.
Get out of here.
Watch, what are you going through all this trouble for? You got a good chance for that promotion. You got seniority at the plant, right?
No, but I've been there the longest.
with you?
Oh, yeah, Edith, but Black Elmo is colored. A colored guy ain't got a Chinaman's chance.
Mike shrugs his eyebrows.
Besides, Elmo is rooting for me to be the dispatcher, because then I'm going to make him the foreman, see? And that's as high as them people go.
What would you call Justice Thurgood Marshall, foreman of the Supreme Court?
If that's what he does there. Edith, I gotta get this promotion, you know, before I'm so old that nobody wants me no more.
Oh, Archie, there'll never be a time when I don't want you, even when your hair goes gray again.
To match your eyebrows.
I'm surprised you ain't eating something.
That's a good idea.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I hope it's the Coast Guard. If it is, tell them our kitchen's being attacked by jaws.
Edith finds Irene at the door.
Oh, hi, Irene.
Here's that yarn I said I'd pick up for you.
Irene stares at Archie.
Well?
Edith, does Archie know he's got a black cat on his head?
He turns away.
See, Archie's trying to look young for the dispatcher's job, so he touched it up.
Edith, don't tell her nothing and stop rooting around up there.
You think darker hair is going to get you the dispatcher's job?
Let's just say that I'm the one that they're going to pick.
Unless they pick me.
Hey, Irene, how would you like a nice home-cooked meal?
Hey, that sounds good.
The home and cook one.
Gritting her teeth, she strides to the door.
Oh, Irene, he didn't mean nothing. Archie was paying me a compliment. You're a very good cook.
You know what's the best part about visiting you, Archie?
What?
Leaving you.
Archie squirms in his chair.
Irene, thanks for the yarn. You want your dinner now?
Yeah, but I gotta lose weight, Edith. I hope you remember my diuretic cutter sheets.
Oh, yeah, right away.
I hate the taste of that stuff. Hey, Edith, do you think you could crush a cookie over the cottage cheese?
That's cheating, Arch.
Ah, shut up. Who asked you anyway? You're always poking your face into other people's concerns. Jeez.
Mike snacks on a bowl of potato chips as he reads over Archie's shoulder. Archie peers up from his newspaper.
Can't you eat without chewing?
How?
Just shut your big yap. Why do you think God gives you lips? To close in the noise.
All right. Don't take it out on me just because you're worried about getting that job.
But can you imagine Irene Lorenzo thinking that she's going to get that job over me with all that gray hair of hers?
Well, she just might get the job, Art. You know, nowadays the government is pressuring companies into hiring more women in executive positions.
I know. It's a crime against nature. Women was created for two things, making meals and babies.
Oh, boy. There you go again with that 19th century thinking of yours.
Well, it's true. Look at your cave women. Why do you think your cave women was created with short legs and fat butts?
I don't know, Arch, but I'm sure you got a good answer.
So they couldn't run fast, so the men could catch them and force them to make the meals and the babies.
Well, weren't there any cave women with long legs and skinny butts that could run faster than the men?
Well, them, the men would have to bring down with a rock.
Now I'm starting to catch on. And what about the cave men with short legs and fat butts that couldn't catch any women?
Well, they was probably your first fags.
I gotta get out of here. I'm arguing about cavemen with a caveman.
Mike heads to the kitchen, leaving the chips behind. Archie reaches into the bowl, but drops his chip and hurries to the door.
Hey, Bunky.
Hey, Elmo. Whoa, what are you doing around our block?
News, man. I brought you some news.
Oh, come on in. Come on in. Gee, it's glad to see you. Glad to see you. How you know? It just hit me. 20 years we're working together. This is the first time you're inside of my house.
Could be because you never invited me.
Oh, Elmo, you know you're welcome here at any time at all. Did I invite you tonight?
No, you still batting 1,000. Say, Bunky, I like what you did to your hair.
Ah, you noticed that, huh? Hey. Come on in, come on in, come on, make yourself at home. Sit down over here. Oh, but not in my chair. Yeah, it's just my personal chair. You can sit any place on the sofa. Here, sit where my son-in-law usually sits. Here. Now, what's the news?
I got some scam that might help you land a certain job where you can make it easy for me.
Oh, great, great. Hey, you want to stay to supper?
Can't make it.
Swell. What's the, what do you call scam?
Tonight, I heard that the boss was into a new charity, which he was going to ask us all to sign up for next week.
Well, what's that got to do with the job?
Well, if you go into Sanders' office tomorrow and sign up for that charity before anybody else, you got to be his fair-haired boy, even with that hair.
Oh, hey, listen. Gee, that's a great idea. I'll do that. First thing in the morning at work, I'll just get in there and I'll sign up for that thing. You really think this looks good, huh?
Hey, if that black spreads to the rest of you, you're going to be beautiful all over.
Elmo leaves. The next day at the office.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders.
You're entirely welcome.
We deeply appreciate your company's interest in our project.
Mr. Scott, we always cooperate with any worthwhile charity.
Well, you can't find a better one than the Organ Bank. We desperately need eyes, kidneys, hearts, any functional organs of the body.
Well, our employees are happy to give anything that doesn't come out of their paycheck.
I'll come by tomorrow with some pamphlets.
All right, fine. I'll see you then.
Archie passes Mr. Scott on the way into the office.
Good morning, Mr. Sanders there. Could I talk to you for a minute, sir?
Who are you?
I'm Archie Bunker from the loading dock.
What'd you do to yourself? You look different.
Younger, huh?
No, different.
Well, Mr. Sanders, the reason I'm here is I heard you was interested in a certain charity, you know, and I want to come down early so I'd be the first one to donate.
Oh, it's very commendable of you, Bunker. We need everybody we can get.
Oh, well, I'll give anything I can.
I wonder. Yeah. Just sign there.
Oh, sign, huh?
We collect later.
Oh, painlessly, huh?
Yeah!
Okay. I'll just sign, and then I'll get right down the loading dock, Mr. Sanders, because I always like to be the oily worm to work, you know, as you can tell from looking at my work record, if you ever have any reason to be looking at that.
Oh, I just may be doing that, Bunker.
Yeah?
Well, you carry this card in your wallet at all times.
Oh, yeah.
It identifies you as a donor.
Oh, listen, I want to donor anything I can to help, Mr. Sanders.
Yeah.
Sanders grabs the phone.
Oh, all right. I'll be right down. Excuse me, Bunker.
Yeah, sure. What is it? Oh, these, I don't need the glasses to see, Mr. Sanders. They just help me read faster.
Well, don't lose the card.
No, I won't lose the card. Let's see here.
Archie reads the card when Sanders leaves.
I hereby donate my body and any organs or parts to be used for medical science to take effect on my death.
He calmly tucks the card and eyeglasses into his pockets, then suddenly lurches forward. After work, Archie shuffles through his front door with his head hung low. As he sets down his lunchbox and takes off his hat, Edith hurries down the stairs. They startle one another.
What the hell is the matter with you?
I'm sorry, Archie. Oh, I didn't hear you slam the door. How was your day?
I was lousy. It was the worst. You know what I done today, Edith, without knowing? I signed up for Dr. Frankenstein's pet show.
How much do you have to give?
Oh, painting right up to here.
His forehead.
Take a look at this.
He hands Edith the card.
Uniform donor card. Oh, you're going to give him your old army uniform.
No, just the guy that used to be in it. Don't you understand? The minute I croak, they're going to come and take me apart, this body that you love. You won't have nothing to bury of me but a hat and a cigar.
Dear, what would the Reverend Felcher say?
He'll have to preach his final urology over a hat box. Edith, get me a beer, huh?
Are you going off your diet?
I'm gonna put on 8 layers of fat. If it ain't easy for them to get up my organs, maybe they leave me alone. Get me the beer, huh? While I still got a stomach left to put in it.
Oh, cheer up, Archie. You got a lot of years left. And maybe by the time you do go to your reward, your parts will be so old and wore out, nobody will want
it. Mike walks in.
Hi, Ma. Here's Archie's cottage cheese.
Thanks, Mike.
Jeez, I hate that cottage cheese.
We're having Chinese food tonight.
Get out of here. Get back here. I want to ask you something, Professor. You ever seen one of them?
He shows Mike the card.
Yeah, it's an organ bank donor card. I got one myself.
You got one? What do they want you for? All your parts are Polish. They don't fit regular people.
You know, when they start with you, they ought to start with something small, like your brain.
Here's your beer.
Hey, Ma, did you know Archie signed up for this?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I didn't know I signed up for it till after I signed up for it.
Well, you should be proud, Arch. I mean, every day they're saving lives with heart transplants, kidney transplants, bone grafts. You know, it's a way of achieving immortality. A part of you lives on after you're gone.
Oh, I see. Ain't that nice? Two people in love can still go walking hand in hand. Even though their hands are on two other people.
Arch, I don't know why you're worried. What are you worried about? It all happens after you're dead anyway.
Yeah, I know. After I'm dead. Gee, oh, when I'm dead, what are they going to put on my tombstone there, Rita? Can you imagine? Here with a light Archie Bunker. Only he give it to your office.
That night, Edith stirs in bed. She rolls over and tries to hug Archie, but finds only a black-stained pillow in his place.
Archie. Archie.
He steps out of the bathroom, drying his gray hair.
Archie, what are you doing?
Oh, geez, Edith, I just had the most awful nightmare.
Oh, it must have been scary. You turned your hair white.
That ain't funny. What are you laughing at? You wouldn't be laughing if you just had the nightmare I had, Edith.
Well, why did you wash the color out of your hair? I thought you needed it for the dispatcher's job.
Well, I'm going to have to take my chances without the color.
Why?
Because of the nightmare I just had, Edith. This is what I dreamed, that I was in Munson's cab, see, and I was taking a nap in a cab. Cut that!
She dries his hair.
Listen to what I'm saying to you.
All right.
I dreamed that I was in Munson's cab, see, taking a nap. And all of a sudden, up comes this mad doctor, see, and he notices my donor card, he pronounces me dead, and he jerks out my liver for a needy friend.
Without even asking?
Edith, people ain't polite nightmares. And next thing, I am driving a cab, see? And the way it works, see, I'm driving for heaven, you know? It's a tough drive, uphill all the way. And while I'm going there, these nutty doctors are running up and they're taking parts off of the cab and parts off of me.
Why would they take parts off of the cab?
You're worried about them taking parts off of the not about your husband.
Oh, I'm sorry, Archie, but it's only a dream.
I know it's only a dream, but I'm telling you because dreams try to be telling you things, you see? So I'm driving on, and I get up to the pearly gates, I park the cab up there. Get out, and I come eyeball to eyeball with God, and he is sore as hell at me. You know why?
Yeah, because you took a cab to heaven. You should have floated like everybody else did.
Wrong! That wasn't the reason. He was sore at me because he didn't recognize me with his hair. Oh. And he was sore at me because I come back to him without the parts he sent me down here. And what really bugged him is while I'm standing up there in my empty skin, all my organs are down here and other people breaking commandments left and right. My two hands are picking pockets. My feet are running away from a holdup. And my eyes are reading hardcore pornography. It was awful.
Oh, Archie, look at you. You're still shaking.
You'll be shaking too, ain't it, if you dream you just flunked heaven?
Oh. Edith hugs him and rocks him back and forth. The next day, Archie finds Mr. Scott alone in Sanders' office.
Oh, they told me you was in here. Are you the guy from this here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm John Scott, public relations for the Organ Bank.
Oh, well, I'm Archie Bunker from the loading dock. I signed up for this yesterday, but I got a pull out, so if you could give me my document there.
Oh, may I ask why?
Well, I tell you, it's between me and the guard.
You mean it's against your religion?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to explain.
No need to explain. I've encountered that religious objection before.
I imagine so. You got it there?
I must say one thing, though. You certainly don't look Jewish.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, we've had many Jewish donors, but I know that Orthodox Jews are opposed to autopsies and all forms of dismemberment.
Oh, yeah, ever since they was babies, they can't stand knives.
I've always admired the way you've clung to your beliefs in spite of all the persecution you've suffered. I guess it isn't easy being Jewish.
Well, that's why most people ain't.
Scott returns the document.
Thank you very much, and good luck with your organs.
Sanders walks in.
Oh, hi there, Mr. Sanders.
Bunker?
Yeah.
Why do you look different every time I see you?
I didn't sleep good last night, Mr. Sanders.
Mr. So, you know, Bunker is a little disturbed about having to pull out of the organ bank.
Huh?
You see, his problem
well,
is...
Well, I ain't in well health, Mr. Sanders. I just got waiting the doctor.
Oh? I thought it's because you're Jewish.
Jewish? He's as Jewish as Reverend Ike.
I just assumed that... Now, look here, Mr. Bunker. If you wanted to back out, you didn't have to make any excuses.
Oh, I didn't want to back out. Like I told you, it was doctor's order. My doctor told me, confidentially, he wouldn't give my bones to his dog. I hope you understand, Mr. Sanders.
I do, Bunker. And I admire your honesty.
Oh, good.
I had you penciled in for our new dispatcher. But that's an important job, and we want somebody who's going to be with us a long time.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Mr. Sanders.
Roxanne, maybe you have Elmo Bridgewater report to my office?
You mean Black Elmo's getting a job?
Yeah. You know, Bunker, your doctor's right. Just one day, you look like you've aged 10 years.
Well, Mr. Sanders, before you make any final decisions, I'd like to...
Archie accidentally sits on Scott's lap.
Excuse me there, Mr. Rogans. Maybe I could get a second opinion, you know. Great things can happen. They're doing so much with this here chinky puncture nowadays.
Directed by Paul Bogart. Written by Bill Davenport and Larry Rhine. Story editors Milt Josephsberg and Larry Rhine. Program consultant Mel Tolkien. Associate producer Bridget Jensen.
All in the Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Executive producer Hal Cantor. Produced by Lou Derman and Bill Davenport. Betty Garrett, Irene. Sorrel Book, Mr. Saunders. J.A. Preston, Black Elmo. Don Randolph, Mr. Scott. Based on Till Death Us Do Part, created by Johnny Spite. Copyright 1975, Tandem Productions Incorporated. CBS, a Bud Yorkin, Norman Lear, Tandem Production.
Viacom.